Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
I'm Becky Bond. I was a senior advisor on the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign, and since the election of Trump, in a lot of parts of the resistance, including co-founding a group called Knock Every Door.
I want to talk about Knock Every Door. First, I guess, tell us how that got started. Where did the idea come from, and how did you end up putting it together?
Well, I think like a lot of people that have been involved in organizing after the election of Trump, everyone I knew and people that I didn't know would come up to me and say, what do we do now? what should I do? And it was kind of an amazing moment, in part because everybody wanted to do something. And not only did they want to do something, it wasn't just that they wanted to know where to give a donation or how to make a phone call, but they wanted to do things that were in person where they lived. They wanted to be with other people, and they wanted to be active together in person, which was an amazing, I think, impulse. And I know that I personally felt that too, that I wanted to be with other people, and I wanted to be engaged in work that was going to be part of the solution. And so, one of the things that I would tell people was that one of the next things that was going to happen. Was that we were going to start talking to the voters who had supported President Obama in 2008 or 2012 and who flipped to support Trump in 2016, because clearly understanding, you know, what happened there, as well as with the people who voted for President Obama in 2008 and 2012 but didn't vote mm-hmm. in 2016, understanding what happened with those voters and was going to be key to how we were going to make things be different next time. And so I said, we've got to get out there and knock on doors and talk to people, and we've got to phone bank these people and start the conversation. I actually just really thought that most organizations that were involved in elections were going to basically start, the work for the next cycle then, because so many people were ready. They were like, I'm ready to talk to voters. Let's go canvass. And then nobody asked them. Yeah. To do that. Nobody asked me to do that. Even at the same time as all these news stories were coming out about the presidential campaign, which had really sort of failed to talk to voters at scale in person with volunteers.
Right.
And there had been this idea on the campaign that wasn't a valuable or cost-effective thing to do. And one of the things I think that came clear, and I think that the people that were asking me what to do next felt it very viscerally, was that somehow we'd lost this feedback loop between voters and the people who were running campaigns. And that if you'd actually gone out and talked to people like we did on the Bernie Sanders campaign going across country, you knew that people were really angry and hurting, and that the solutions that the Democrats were talking about and were bragging about, you know, we fixed the economy. The economy is growing. It's awesome. They were talking about the amazing advances of Obamacare, which did solve problems for a lot of people.
Right.
But I would talk to people again and again across the country who said, I'm forced to pay expensive premiums that I can't afford, and my deductible is so high that I can't go to the doctor when I'm sick. And so there was this dissonance between the voters and the messages that were coming down from the Democrats.
Right.
And so there was this disconnect. And so there were a lot of people that were ready to go out, start, have the conversations, listen, and try and forge the connections that we'd need and the civil dialogue that we'd need to get out of this hole. And so when that opportunity wasn't offered, there were some other organizers, that was feeling the same as I was, and we all got together kind of as volunteers.
Right.
And we said, well, what if we could just help people go out and go canvassing? Why do we need a professional organization to run these canvasses and to invite people to do it? We've learned a lot on the Bernie Sanders campaign about how to use very cheap or free consumer software
right.
to help volunteers actually run their own voter contact operations. And so that's when we decided that we would set an all-volunteer run, pretty much campaign up that we called Knock Every Door.
Right.
That was a series of conference calls and Google Docs and data entry teams and text message turnout teams that started bringing people together where they live to go out and talk to voters.
So it's been a few months now that this is going on. How is it going? How many doors have been knocked? Where are people doing the door knocking?
Well, that's just amazing. Volunteers are running canvases in 37 states right now.
Wow.
And they've knocked on, you know, tens of thousands of doors, and they've had, you know, thousands of amazing conversations. And a lot of it listening. What's so amazing, I think, about this moment that we're in, and the really sort of humble and generous attitude of the volunteers who believe that we need to break out of our filter bubbles and go talk to people that may not agree with us to try and understand, you know, what are the problems that they're facing and what are their hopes and fears for the future,
right.
And then how do we engage with them about our hopes and fears, especially if they're different. And you know, the folks that are going out there, we have these debriefing calls every week where the volunteers who've hosted a conference get on one of these free conference calls with other people that have hosted and some of the organizers that are coaching them that were involved in the Bernie Sanders campaign, some of them involved in the Clinton campaign, and what they say is that you know, that people who show up and go out and canvas if they've never done it before, that not only are they having conversations that they think will make progress for the next election, but it's really it's transforming them and how they think about things.
Yeah.
And it's a really amazing personal experience for them to actually go out and relearn talking to people that are different than we are and sharing experiences. And it's really open their eyes to the world in a certain way. And it's creating a sense of connection that they feel has been missing.
Yeah. What kinds of things are you learning? Are people learning on the doors?
Well, I think, you know, the things that we're learning at the doors are that people actually want to talk.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that we ask at the end of our survey, we worked with some political scientists to try and write scripts that would be the most effective at the door, that would also tap into a new kind of research about canvassing that suggests that a certain kind of, they call it deep canvassing, mm-hmm. is actually the most impactful in terms of persuading people and having that persuasion be durable over time.
Right.
And we asked people at the end of the survey, you know, would you like to have someone come back and talk to you about this again?
Yeah.
And overwhelmingly, people say yes.
Yeah.
They would. And in part, I think there's this myth that people don't want.
Yeah.
They don't like to be bothered. That the voters don't like to be bothered. We're bothering them by going and having this conversation. So one of the most amazing things I think that we're learning is that actually people do want to have, you know, these conversations with their fellow citizens about what's at stake. And people really, I think also people really want to be, feel like they're listened to. It's not just delivering a script and trying to tell somebody what they should think.
All of these conversations are happening. Sort of, where does this go? I guess where does the information go? Where do the conversations lead?
That's a great question. You know, right now what we're doing is, if you are a volunteer and you want to start canvassing, when you go to the doors with your fellow volunteers, you pre-print out these forms where you can record the answers and what people say at the door. And it's a combination of verbatims and, you know, sort of picking on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about X or Y. And what they do after a canvas is there's these, you know, free apps you can put on your phone, like Scannable and Cam Scanner. And they turn the forms that they filled out into PDFs.
Right
there with their phone, there's the camera. And then they email those ones in. And then we have a team of volunteers who actually enter the data into the database. And right now the data, I think, just goes into like an Airtable database, it's not like Google Sheets, where we're tracking these responses. And then we also send a Google spreadsheet back to the Canvas organizer to give them that data back. And because a lot of people that are doing this have a local, small local group that's actually, you know, running a campaign, or they work for candidates at times, and they want the data back about the people that they talk to.
Right.
So we're giving it back to the people that, but we're also keeping in contact with it. Right now, you know, when you think about how many, you know, people are doing this wherever they are, it's not concentrated in one area. And so right now, it's sort of relative to the number of voters. It's a small database, but we're going to keep compiling it. And if enough people get involved, it'll get large enough to be useful.
Right.
At which point, what we've said is that we're open to sharing the information with campaigns that are fighting for racial and economic justice. But for now, we're just keeping the information and we're putting it back in the hands of the people that are organizing on the ground.
It's been really interesting to me to see all of these new sort of organizations or formations like Knock Every Door. There's a whole bunch of other things where it seems like you're doing basically what political parties in countries that have functional political parties would be doing. Especially in the sort of vacuum of the Democratic Party not wanting to do some of these things. How do you feel, I guess, about how all these different things come together and what they're building towards?
Well, I think in some ways what we're seeing is the people are just, way out in front of the politicians and the party leaders.
Right.
And with Knock Every Door, one of the things that we wanted to do was make a bold statement saying this is really important.
Right.
And we need to get out in front of people and show that volunteers actually really wanted to do it. And to show that the voters at the doors actually want to be, part of these conversations. And so, when we started this, there was no chair of the DNC, and now we have people at the DNC talking, very passionately about the need to go out, especially in an off year, and on every door.
Right.
And so they're picking up. We've created, a demand.
Right.
To Knock Every Door, and we're seeing the party start to talk about it. And I think that's progress. Where we're actually seeing the party really get involved with these volunteers is that several state parties have come to us,
mm-hmm.
where you have someone who works at the state party who's like, this is what I've been wanting to do, is Knock Every Door because our lists aren't great, or I know we can persuade people. And there's a lot of people that work at state parties who, especially in red states where there's counties where they're just, they don't have staff on the ground in those counties because they just don't have enough Democratic voters there. And so for them, this has been this great platform where they can say, I want help to run a Knock Every Door canvas in these counties in my state where we don't have party staff. And so we've literally been working with state parties about how they can get volunteers to start doing this work in places where they're not funded to do it. It's really why we put this together as a platform and not as a campaign behind a specific idea.
Right.
We already have Act Blue, which would revolutionize how people can, raise small dollar donations to candidates without ever having to talk to a staffer or without having to rely on a group like the DNC or the DCCC to promote a candidate. But we thought in the same way, what if people could contribute small amounts of, doors knocked to a larger strategy and create a platform that would just let anybody plug into it and get started. And with the hopes that when Act Blue, which started slowly, but eventually becoming this really important part of the infrastructure of the Democratic Party and Progressive Movement, that setting up a platform where volunteers could do canvassing would, could really change things. And then finally, I think this is important to say too, is that, we expect We're turning people on to canvassing, and once people start going door to door and talking to people, it's pretty addictive. And so what you find is that the people that do it, some of them really get into it and do it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where you get better the more you do it. We're completely certain that what's going to happen here is that by the time candidate campaigns and maybe some issue campaigns, get to the maturity that they're ready to go out and knock on doors for some of the candidate campaigns for 2018, it might not be until the summer of 2018. But when they do, they're going to find these volunteers who've been doing Knock Every Door canvases. They're going to be ready to come and be their top volunteers and start canvassing for that candidate and for that campaign. So we think that when the party catches up to the people and they open up their own canvases for these important races that are to come, that we're going to have a bunch of people that are ready to go, that have been doing this all along, and that can be, huge contributors to climbing that hill that we'll have to climb, which are the midterm elections.
Yeah. It's interesting because this was, obviously comes out of your work on the Sanders campaign and the willingness to sort of trust people to go run their own canvas, to do things largely without asking for permission. It's tough sometimes to get to get, well, any candidate, but to get the Democratic Party, to get anybody to sort of be willing to let go in that way. And also it's tough to get them to be willing to learn from the people that they're talking to on the doors. The tough question will be, right, how do you decide who is part of the movement and who isn't, I guess.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think, you know, the folks behind Knock Every Door are working on a lot of things as right. part of the resistance. And this is an important platform that we thought could be important to all sorts of things that are going on. For example, a lot of the swing left chapters and indivisible chapters are running Knock Every Door campuses, right? So they have a program, we have a platform to help people with, you know, resources to get trained and scripts to use and the data entry, you know, ability and the conference calls where people can debrief together and support each other. We have that capacity. And so in this work, we've really said, you know, we're going to, you know, this platform can be used by anyone who, you know, supports racial and economic justice. But in our other work, and we are more specifically ideological, and there's a real divide, I think, in the party right now, and all the call for unity within the Democratic Party, I think they kind of get it wrong, the calls for unity and healing. And I think what we actually have is we have groups of people that believe different things.
Right.
So I think we have factions or formations, and some people, and the, you know, the people that we generally refer to as the neoliberals, like they want to have a few more winners and a few less losers, but they want to keep the current economic system, you know, basically the way it is. And then there are other people that think that financialized capitalism is leading to, you know, is a huge contributor to gross economic and racial injustice, and that we have to take on capitalism and structural racism at the same time, that's incompatible with a party, you know, which represents the money and elite has come to in this country. And so I think, you know, in our other work, we're working on racial justice campaigns. We're working to elect district attorneys who are going to end mass incarceration. We're looking at other, you know, municipal and county campaigns where we can stop pipelines and protect voting rights, supervisors of elections, and that kind of stuff. So I think that it's important to have, to be clear about what you believe in and to be working for specific solutions, mm-hmm. but also I think it's sort of a tax on all of us, or maybe a tithe, that we all need to contribute to, you know, creating practices and infrastructure for everyone, you know, that's going to lift all boats. And I think that when we have a system, or when we're pushing tactics that involve getting more people involved, getting more volunteers involved, and talking to more voters, that's good for strengthening really due democracy. And this is how we make people more important than money. And it's something that that we need to work on, even as we're pursuing other specific policies. And so this is why we're really open to this being something we hope it's adopted, you know, by the party, no matter where we stand on some of the issue fights and some of the ideological battles, which we are engaged in and I think are really important. But I think this is important too.
Yeah, and it's I suppose if part of the goal of this is to bring some feedback back to candidates and campaigners about what people actually care about and what people are actually feeling, then that should shape what those policy decisions end up being. At least we hope, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that if campaigns actually heard word for word from the voters, and if they try to talk to all the voters, right, not just a small number of voters that cherry picked to swing an election. I mean, I think that, you know, if there's a lot of things to take away from the 2016 presidential election. One of the things to take away was how absolutely dangerous it was to have strategy which was going for 50% of the vote plus one.
Right.
Because, you know, there should have been a wide margin between the Clinton campaign and the Trump campaign going into Election Day. And had there been that wide margin, then the Comey revelations and these other things, they could have, you know, brought the vote down some, but it wouldn't have been so catastrophic. And so I think this idea that modern campaigns have come to, which is part of the big data strategy where, essentially you hire a bunch of data consultants to talk to basically run a bunch of models to find out who are the, what's the smallest number of people that you can talk to and when.
Right.
What's the, what are the fewest people and who are those people and what do they care about, right? We think that you want to talk to everybody. And when you talk to, when you talk to a small number of people, you may not, even if you do talk to them, they may not reflect back, right? You know, what the campaign needs to hear and about what's really going on with the most of the constituents in that race. And so I think that if campaigns did hear from the majority of the people, right, how policies are affecting their lives, then that could, you know, that could really change, you know, what politicians decide to talk about and fight for. I mean, one of the things that I've really learned talking to people across the country is that the people that are not participating in elections, the so-called low information voters,
right,
you know, it's not that they're ignorant people at all. In fact, you know, time and time again, when I talk to them, I come away with it feeling like they have a very sophisticated political analysis.
Yeah.
And they're choosing not to participate in politics, not because they don't know, but because, you know, their liberation is not on the ballot, and they don't see how voting is going to actually make a material change in their life. And so I think this reestablishing the feedback loop and talking to voters is a really important thing. But the concerns of the people that are not participating can also be something that politicians take into account, not just the narrow slice of voters that they think will put them over the top.
So we're having this conversation shortly before the People's Summit, which is going to be the second year in a row of this sort of post-Bernie campaign gathering. You're going to be talking. What are you looking forward to about it?
Well, I'm really excited about the People's Summit in Chicago, and I feel like it could really be a turning point for the resistance in 2017. And I'm talking about a couple things there. One is there's going to be a panel about big organizing after Bernie, and big organizing is this idea of, you know, campaigning behind big ideas that are really going to change things and getting as many people involved as possible in making the change. And then I'm also really excited to be there because, you know, this is an explicit gathering of the left activists who are fighting both fascism and neoliberalism, and are involved in a project of political education so that we know not just which races we need to win, but and not just who we're supporting, but what is it that we're actually for and why, and how is what's going on right now, how is that reflected by or caused by the deeper things that are going on in politics, and I'm very excited to be part of a movement that is that cares about this kind of analysis and putting it into action, and that cares about bringing movement values into electoral politics. So I think we'll look back on this summit as the People's Summit in 2017, you know, possibly as a real turning point for the Democratic Party and for the American left. At a really dire moment, you know, when big changes is needed and the country could go in two very different directions.
Excellent. How can people keep up with you and sign up to Knock Every Door?
Go to knockeverydoor.org and check it out. If you sign up at knockeverydoor.org, you'll get a text message from a volunteer inviting you to be on a conference call where you can talk to people about how you can get started going door to door in your community. So it's not just about getting some information. It's not just a software site. It is really a community of volunteers that are supporting each other to do this work. And we'd love to have as many people come and join us as I do.
Can people follow you on social media?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. I am BBond. And then you can also find me on the web at rulesforrevolutionaries.org.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.